Constantinople, now it's Istanbul. Now Constantinople, been a long time gone. Constantinople, now it's Turkish delight on a moonlit night. Every gal in Constantinople lives in Istanbul. Now Constantinople, so if you've a date in Constantinople, she'll be waiting in Istanbul.
Oh, hey, didn't see you there. I was too busy listening to the amazing song Istanbul, not Constantinople, by the Might Be Giants. Oh, and allow me to correct myself. It doesn't matter if I didn't see you, because I can't anyway. This is a podcast, after all. You're listening to me, not watching me. But anyhow, back to the main subject of this week's episode. Ah, yes, Istanbul. A city of wonders and horrors. A place where good things roam, and so do bad. A city of light and dark. Because where it is day, it is also night. And where it is warm and sunny, it is also haunted. I'm Rishu Sheth, and this is Legend. In Istanbul, fragments of history are revealed by the slightest scratch of the earth. Having grown from a Greek fishing village to a global metropolis over 2,600 years, Istanbul has collected rotting mansions, collapsed cisterns, crumbling tombs, and forgotten fountains as the relics of its timeless subconscious, prone to haunting. Many Muslims believe that in the spectral jinn, beings of smokeless fire who trick and deceive mankind. In Turkish legend tells of the Guayba, a hair-covered monster that lurks in graveyards, waiting to devour travelers. So it is no surprise that Istanbul's streets are overflowing with tales of mystery that its inhabitants have retold throughout the centuries. In the shoreline of Baltalimani, a red tower is topped by a conical roof rises 5 stories into the air. The building's outline could be the setting for a Shakespearean tragedy, one of Edgar Allan Poe's dark tales. The mansion is aptly known as the Perukosk, meaning the haunted mansion. Though Ottoman statesman and diplomat Yusuf Ziya Pasha ordered its construction in the 1910s, work on the grand house was soon halted by the outbreak of World War I. According to legend, Yusuf wanted the house to match the beauty of his Egyptian wife, who, perhaps seeing the end of his Ottomans on the horizon, left Yusuf for her home country. When two of the Pasha's merchant ships sank at sea, poor finances forced him to leave most of the house unfinished. Yusuf died in 1926 and was buried within sight of the Nile, asking for his tomb to be built of stones from the ill-fated mansion. The Pasha's second wife and his 3 daughters remained in the house after Yusuf died, selling the building to its current owner in 1993. Local people began to tell stories about a ghostly woman who would appear at the windows of the abandoned mansion. When restoration began in 1995, workers claimed to see the Pasha's second wife walking the corridors. Brazen Holding holds a lease of Perukosk today, using it as an office space during the week. The mansion is open to the public on weekends as Brazen Kontaminopori. An Istanbul art institution with excellent permanent and temporary exhibitions. But visitors might want to bring a friend. You never know when the Pasha's wife might walk around the corner. The Sumela Monastery is one of the oldest and most historic monasteries in the Christian world. There are no exact records about it, when it was built, or by who, but it is estimated that history dates back some 1,000 years, and the locals who constructed it did so to escape enemy attacks. Located high up on the cliffs above the surrounding forests in Trabzon, Turkey, this incredible feat of architecture has changed hands many times throughout its existence, until it was finally abandoned in 1923. The Sumela Monastery is located outside the Turkish city of Trabzon. Standing on a cliff on the Zagana Mountains, it is popularly known as Meryem Ana, or the St. Mary. This building complex, which is located at a height of 1,200 meters, is nearly 300 meters high and follows a tradition of monasteries that were located outside cities in forests near caves and sources of water. The road to get there is about 45 kilometers from Trebizond, and it climbs steadily. Upon arriving the monastery, the structure appears almost glued to the mountainside. The entrance is reached by climbing a long and narrow stairway, where there is a large aqueduct at the top with many arches, which has mostly been restored. The main buildings of the monastery complex are its rock church, chapels, kitchens, student rooms, a guest house, library, and a fountain used to collect spring water from the mountain, which was revered by the Greeks. A large building in which a balcony on the front part of the cliff sits was used by monks and dates back to 1860. The influence of Turkish art can also be observed in the design of the cupboards, niches, and fireplaces in the rooms of the buildings surrounding the courtyard. The rock church at Sumela is a very strange building. It appears to be wedged into the corner of the mountain, while the apse is made of brickwork. What makes this church so unique is that the interior as well as the exterior is covered in frescoes. The main subject of these frescoes is the biblical scenes and scenes depicting the story of Christ and Saint Mary. The inner and outer worlds of Rock Church, as well as the walls of the adjacent chapel, are painted on three levels in three different periods and date back to the beginning of the 15th century. The Sumela Monastery was founded in 386 AD by Greek Orthodox monks and dedicated to the Saint Mary. Legend says that two monks from Athens, Saint Barnabas and his nephew, Saint Sophronius, saw an image of the saint in a cave, now the Rock Church, and decided to build a monastery on that spot. However, many historians maintain that it was in existence long before this. Over the centuries, Sumela thrived and became an important location, not only for monks, but for pilgrims. It took the name of Sumela, which derives from the Greek word melas, meaning black. Although it is thought that it took the name from the Kara Daglar, Black Mountains, on which it stands, it could have also been associated with the black color of the icon on the St. Mary. During its long history, the monastery fell into ruin several times and was restored by various emperors. In the 6th century, it was restored by General Belarius on the behest of Emperor Justinian by Byzantine Empire, who wanted it enlarged. In the 13th century, Trebizond and the surrounding area started to fall under control of a new formation called the Komnenos Dynasty, which developed as a separate state of the Byzantium Empire. Trebizond became their capital, and the princes titled themselves as the true heirs of the Byzantium Empire. During the reign of Alexios Komnenos III, the monastery took its present form, and its income was assured from imperial funds. In the time of Manuel III, son of Alexios III, and during the reign of later princes, Sumela would gain further wealth from its new imperial grants. When the Ottomans and the Sultan Mehmet II conquered Trebizond in 1461, he ordered that the Sumela Monastery be protected, and the sultans, following his order, gave special rights and privileges to the monastery. A large Greek community continued to live in the empire of the Trebizond, mainly involved in trading activities. The main churches were turned into mosques, and the Greek who had maintained the Orthodox faith were obliged to meet in tiny, almost hidden churches. Located miles away from the nearest village, the Sumela Monastery was not seen by the Ottoman rulers as being in defiance of the Islam. So, the Greek community of Trebizond was allowed to support the monks living in the monastery. In the 18th century, parts of the Sumela Monastery were restored and the church walls were further decorated with frescoes. Until the Russian occupancy in Trebizond, the monastery stayed active and was visited by monks and the site of Christian and Muslim pilgrimages. It was during this time that the monastery took on a more impressive appearance, with the addition of larger buildings. In 1923, the Ottoman Empire collapsed after the National Liberty War. The same year, the Sumela Monastery was abandoned. following the forced exchange and relocation between Greeks and Turks in accordance with the Treaty of Lausanne. A transfer of population of approximately 2 million people was agreed upon. In 1930, those who migrated found a new monastery, which they named as the Pangaea Sumela Monastery, on the slopes of Mount Vermilion in Macedonia, Greece. With the fire in 1930, the wooden parts of the Sumela Monastery were destroyed, and in the following years, treasure hunters would damage other parts of the monastery. Today, the monastery is seldom used by monks, but has become a popular outdoor museum open to visitors around the world. The Turkish government is funding restoration work. The monastery has enjoyed a revival in pilgrimages from Greece and Russia. In 2017, a chapel which is only accessible through a hidden passage was discovered during restoration work at the monastery. Vibrant murals cover the walls and depict scenes of heaven and hell, and life and death. It is believed that the chapel is older than the rest of the monastery and was built at a time when Christianity was not as popular in the region. But what is popular in that region is some pretty dark history. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of Legend. If you want, you can share Legend with your friends, and as always, thanks for listening.